Judy. Hello.
I'm here.
Okay, I didn't know if anybody was calling.
Listen.
Good evening. Shabbat
Good
shalom. I hope you're
evening.
all
Shabbat
well.
shalom. Yes, thank
Shabbat
you.
shalom.
Please join me in saying the Anna Bakoa. Anna
Bakoa.
Shemim ha. The sequence Yud Kaf Shin can be utilized to take any part of our body that needs healing and return it to its stem cell state, where it can be cleansed, where it can be healed, and where it can be rejuvenated. And then returning it to the body where it will again do its function as it was created to do perfectly. Bahem taharem Hasim kadosh The letters of the month of Sivan, the Resh that created the planet Kohav, the planet Mercury, and the Vav, the Zion that created the constellation Tumim, the twins, the Gemini. Together, the Resh and the Zion have a numerical value of 207, the same numerical value as the Hebrew word Or, which means light, same numerical value as the Hebrew word or the Hebrew phrase En Sof, the endless world. Shabbatenu kabel u'shmati akatenu yodeyah shen gufav
tzadiyotah.
The verse from Samuel Betz that will manifest this year, Bezrat Hashem. The song Timakom Leami Israel Unta Tivishna Tachta Velo Yergaz Otelo Yosifu Venea Vla Lanoto Tachta. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them that they may dwell in a place of their own, and be moved no more. Neither the children of wickedness afflict them any more as at the first. And the eighth verse we say in a whisper. Today's handout can be reached on the HM website. When you click on the Revealed Wisdom link at the top in the red bar and go to the Revealed Wisdom page and scroll down to the matrix, the right column, the first row, will be a link to the weekly portions of the Zohar. If you then go to the Zohar link on that page, if you go to the Zohar, I'm sorry?
Never mind. I'm just talking out loud. Sorry.
If you go to the Zohar link on that page for Shlach Lecha, the parasha that we're going to be speaking about tonight, it will open up to a page that will show you five links for the first five sections of Zohar on Shlach Lecha. And we will be starting with link number one, section number one. But before we start, I received some questions, which I think are appropriate to answer from time to time. They're good questions. Essentially, I'll read the explanation. I read the Chumash and the Zohar for Shlach Lecha. The Chumash was the story of the spies, which everyone knows. And then I read the Zohar, and it was completely different. It was like a foreign language. I have been reading the Zohar since I started studying with you, and I have never noticed this before. What is the Zohar saying? Where is it coming from? And who wrote the Zohar? So your first question is, what is the Zohar saying? We will be talking about in the parasha. And if you want to read ahead in the various sections that I've done so far, you'll find some commentaries that I've written. Those commentaries are not complete, and frequently when I do a Zohar, I notice things that I haven't written down, and I do then make those comments in the class. Also, whenever something is written down, it's in cement. It's something that, just as an example, an aside, but it's a very real aspect that people who study Kabbalah need to realize. One of the Kabbalists about 300 years ago said the worst thing that ever happened to Judaism was the writing down of the halakha. And his reasoning behind that, which he explained, was that once something is written down, it's in cement. And halakha can never be in cement. Halakha means path. It doesn't mean law as it's usually translated. And that's the mistake that people realize, people make. There are various levels of halakha. There's a hierarchy to the halakha. There is a halakha that comes from the Zohar. There's a halakha that comes from the rabbis. There is a halakha that comes directly from the Chumash itself in the writings. There's halakhot that come from the prophets, that come from the writings, the different parts of the Torah, of the Tanakh. This is also true within the frame of the Zohar itself, as we will hopefully come to understand over time as we go through various sections. So what is the Zohar saying? You'll have to listen each week to the classes. You'll also have to read it yourself, as you have done. And you'll have to learn from what you've read. And you'll have to decide for yourself, what is the Zohar saying? Because the answer to your question, what is the Zohar, is a very clear statement. The Zohar is the inner essence of the Torah. And what is the Torah? As we revealed, I learned during this last week and revealed it on Shavuot, The Torah is the Esser Dibrot, the Ten Utterances. The Torah is the word Anochi when it's explained and revealed as a, what's the word, when you take the letters of a word and expand it by giving a sentence to each one of those letters, or giving a word or a phrase to each one of those letters. Anochi stands for the phrase, I am giving to you my soul in writing. Anochi means I, and it's only used for two people in all of the Torah. One is Hashem, and the other is Moshe. What is Anochi? I am giving you my soul in writing. The Torah is the soul of God, and it's explained in the Zohar. It's revealed in the Zohar. It's the inner essence revealed in the Zohar. Now, to help you understand this even on a different, deeper level or simpler level, depending on how you want to perceive it, the Torah was created 2,000 years before creation. Well, there was no sun, there was no stars, so I don't know what 2,000 years before creation means. And I've never met anybody who could answer that question. But that's what the Zohar itself says. The Torah was created 2,000 years before creation. And during those 2,000 years, the Torah existed as a string, a sequence of Hebrew letters. What was that sequence? Was it all the Aleph's in one place and all the Bet's in another place and all the Gimel's in a third place? I don't know. It was a string of letters. It consisted of exactly the same number of letters as what we have in our scroll today. But there were no words. Because if there had been words, then when God created the world, he would have been limited. And God can never be limited. He would have been limited to what he had written in the Torah, into the words of the Torah. But as he created, the letters formed themselves into words, describing in simple stories what actions the Creator did. And then when Adam was created and had his incident in the tree of, in the Garden of Eden, those same or other letters formed other words that described his actions and his story. And then as you go through every person that's written about in the Torah, the letters formed words that describe the actions that those human beings did. And those words and those simple sentences and those simple stories that are revealed in the Chumash are exactly that, stories. And as the Zohar says elsewhere, if all we were looking for were stories, we could find human beings who could write more interesting stories with better endings. The words of the Chumash are descriptions of what happened based on the free choice of human beings in this world. They're made up of the letters that God created and wrote, put into the Torah scroll that's in his plan, in his mind, whatever that means in the plan of creation. Now, the plan of creation includes the Zohar. The plan of creation includes the understanding, the inner essence of what God's plan is. That's what the Zohar is. The Torah, which includes all of the Chumash, the the prophets, the writings, all of the Tanakh, the Torah, that includes all of the lives of all of the tzaddikim, of all of the generations. The Torah that includes your name and my name, and every generation who has ever existed and will ever exist. All of that is included in the Torah, and in the scroll, and in the oral tradition, which is the Talmud and the Zohar, in the Halachot, which is whatever it is, and whatever is included in the Torah, which means the lives of people. The Zohar is that inner essence that helps us understand it. Who wrote the Zohar? The Creator wrote the Zohar. It was revealed by Rabbi Shimon, although the academic Kabbalists will tell you it was revealed by Rabbi Moses de Leon in Spain in the year 1170. Every practicing Kabbalist, not the academic Kabbalists, and I know people who are both, I study from people who are both, and they find it difficult to rationalize, to balance, reconcile the two different frames, the two different sets of teachings. Every practicing Kabbalist from the time of the writing down of the Talmud, every practicing Kabbalist has always said that Abraham wrote the Sefer Yetzirah, and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai wrote the Zohar. And the academic Kabbalists who came into existence in the 1900s, when a man by the name of Gershom Scholem decided that that would be a good way for him to earn his living because his uncle had all these mystical books in his library that nobody understood. So he decided that was a great way to make a living. And he proceeded to study those books and write about them academically. And there has been now universities who are devoted to the academic study of Kabbalah. I hope that answered your question. And I wish you a happy birthday. I'm not mentioning
Thank
your
you.
Name because I think you would be embarrassed by that. But I would be happy to if you'd like to identify yourself.
No,
I think
that's
people
okay.
should.
Okay. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
We're continuing to read. If you have any questions, please feel free to speak out. It isn't my Zohar class, it's yours. All I'm going to do is channel information to you that you have a desire to receive. That's really the relationship that we have in the Zohar class. I would prefer questions asked. I would prefer to be interrupted. Feel free to do as you choose. The first section for the parasha of Shlach Lecha, the first pasuk. Vayehi Noam Adonai Eloheinu aleinu maaseh yadeinu fananeh aleinu maaseh yadeinu fananehu. Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe lemor, Shlach lecha anashim v'yaturu et eretz. Kina'an v'gomer Rebbi Chiya patach. Ami yamecha tzivita boker yedata. Ha-shachar mekomo, shachar ketiv, heya. Itrachaka mishachar, memtet ela amar Rabbi Chiya. V'shata dinate erev shimsha. Nate lemeal kidein itchalash, tupeya kidein shalta, shemala umishtekach dina bealmah. V'ipasha u'tein b'ei barnash v'tzala'a u'kavna re'uta kamei mareya. And Hashem spoke to Moshe, saying, send you men that they may spy out the land of Canaan. Since Rabbi Chiya opened the discussion, saying, have you commanded the morning since your days began, and caused dayspring to know its place? It is written dayspring without the hay, the definite article. Hay has been far from dawn. What is the reason? Rabbi Chiya said, when the evening shadows lengthen and the sun, that is Zeranpin, begins to set, meaning after midday, the strength of the sun is less powerful, which is Zeranpin. This is when the left rules and judgment prevails and spreads over the world. Then a person is required to pray and direct his desire to his master. Let me clarify and explain some things before I read what I've read as written as my commentary. If you look at the English translation, and all of this is coming from the online Zohar that's published by the Kabbalah Learning Center, the capital letters are Rabbi Ashlag's commentary called the Sulam. The regular letters are the translation of the Aramaic that I read to you. The Aramaic does not have Rabbi Ashlag's translation. Only the English translation has Rabbi Ashlag's Sulam commentary. Without those letters, without those words, we will find it very difficult to understand the meaning of the Zohar. With those letters, we still will have difficulty in understanding its meaning. It's explaining the inner essence. It's talking on a level of consciousness that we normally do not think like. We've been raised in a Western society that has taught us to think in terms of physicality. The Zohar is never, ever talking about physical things. It's using physical words, but those physical words are describing spiritual roots of the physical things that we call by those names. That's something that will take you a long time to understand the meaning of it. Rabbi Ashlag refers to it as the language of branches. It takes a significant amount of contemplation. It takes a significant amount of recognizing. We're using this verse as an example. What does it mean to talk about dayspring? I don't even know what dayspring is in the physical level. How am I supposed to understand it in the spiritual level? The Zohar is using the word sun. It's using the word shadows. But we're not talking about physical shadows. We're not talking about the physical sun. We're talking about the spiritual roots of those things. What is the spiritual root of the sun? I'll tell you a secret. The spiritual root of the sun is the Sephirah of Tiferet. An evening shadow is something associated with Malchut, the Sephirah of Malchut, the manifestation of something in the spiritual frame. You can begin to see why the Zohar is so hard to understand. My commentary for this first pasuk. This is important for us to notice and to realize. The Zohar uses the term required. The Z- Zohar almost never uses the term required. Using the idea of a strong word like required is for emphasis. Why is the Zohar stressing the idea of prayer in the afternoon? We are being taught to pray, which means to make a connection to the Creator, as soon after the solar noon as possible. Most people think to pray means the Amidah. The Amidah is a meditative tool in addition to being prayers and requests. Actually, prayer means a connection to the Creator. Why do we need to do this right after the solar noon hour? The influence of Gevurah is extremely powerful on us and overwhelms our normal nature of loving kindness. The only antidote, vaccine to this, is our connection to the Creator. As soon as the energy of Gevurah begins to manifest, which is hinted to us by the fact the sun has reached the zenith and begun to decline, we need to connect to the Creator so that we are not overwhelmed by the energy of Gevurah. For those of you who are not clear, I'm using the names of the Sefirot. Gevurah means power. It means judgment. It means limitations. We need to understand, we need to connect to the Sefirot, because every word in the Torah is a name of the Sefirot. I'm continuing to read. The sages tell us that there are two beneficial times for this connection each day. One is right after the sun begins to decline, immediately after the solar noon, and the other is as close to sunset as possible. This machloket, this argument for the sake of revealing wisdom and truth, usually translated as the argument for the sake of heaven, is based on many different explanations. One is a physical one. People work at their jobs or businesses during the afternoon, and thus they would prefer to pray just before the end of the day. The spiritual reason for connecting at the end of the day is related to the idea that the energy of Gevurah is overcoming the energy of mercy at this moment, and we need the connection most at that moment. The reason for the immediately afternoon argument is that we need the energy early in the day so we do not fall before we make the connection. The choice of timing is yours. The need to make this connection is not truly a choice. If we do not make the connection, then the negative system wins by default. We just cannot overcome the negative system without this afternoon connection. My personal connection is not the Amidah. This is because in our society, we do not have the time to say it properly, with the proper kavanah or intention. My connection is to say the names of the Tetragrammaton and the 12 permutations. If I have time, I connect the permutations to the Hebrew months and the names of the tribes. This can be done literally in less than a minute. I refer to this as the minute prayer. That is the end of the first section. Does anybody have any questions?
I do.
Go ahead.
Okay, this is explaining the afternoon and evening prayer, right? Now,
No, there's that's two different prayers. The Jewish men are taught to pray three times a day. Jewish woman is taught to pray once a day. When she prays, I teach people because of the needs. I teach people to pray many different times a day, to make many connections at different times because of the astrological relationship. But I will let you ask your question. I just need to clarify what's going on at this point. When you pray the afternoon prayer as close to sunset as possible, most normal minions pray the afternoon prayer, study for a half hour or so, and then pray an evening prayer. Many people get confused and say that that's one session, but it's not. There's an afternoon prayer, there's a study session, and then there's an evening prayer. Now, please go ahead.
Okay. And I'm probably going to come back to what my original question was in the email. But my question is this. I know that the requirement of the prayers, that's not in the Torah, is it? Is it in the Talmud? Or is this the only place it can be found?
No, it is in the Talmud. It is in the Halakha. And it is coded into the Torah that these other locations, the Talmud and the Zohar and the Halakha, get their understanding from. And that's specifically Abraham is described as praying in the morning. Isaac is described as praying in the field in the afternoon. And Jacob is described as praying in the evening. So that is where the three prayers come from.
Okay. All right.
Was that the question you wanted to ask?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Are there any other questions? We can go on to section two. Section two is the name that rules after midnight. The second pasuk. The Amar Rabbi Esa Kad Nate Shimsha Vid Halash Kedem Yit Patchach Kad Petichu B'Shimsha Vid Kanish Cheleya Usmala Shalit Vayitchak Kare Beira Yeah. As Rabbi Yehuda said, when the sun is about to set, that is Zerantin, and is losing its strength, meaning past midday, an aperture in the sun opens, the door of the domination of the left, and the sun's power is gathered in. That is Zerantin in the central column, and the left reigns. Isaac, who is the left column, digs a well underneath it, which is Malchut, that suckles from the left, and then he establishes her. Sounds a little coded, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
My commentary. What is the meaning of he establishes her? In my opinion, the translation would be better served if we said he builds her or he forms her. In this discussion, he represents Isaac. Isaac is a metaphor for the soul after the Mashiach, or the soul after the tikkun. The correction is completed. The Gemar tikkun is the phrase in Hebrew. To understand this concept, we need to understand the concept of why do we fear judgment? The answer is due to our inner soul knowledge that we have not truly completed our spiritual work. And therefore, there will be pain, suffering, and chaos unless we hurry and complete it. We also know that we probably will not be in a hurry to complete it, and therefore the chaos will manifest in our life, God forbid, chas v'shalom. This verse in the Zohar is telling us when we complete our tikkun, the idea of the left column will no longer generate fear, and the light from the left column will be a good thing to build Malchut. Who is she in the above discussion? With the light of the left column, even the souls associated with Isaac. As I read this, I realized that my writing is confusing. Malchut is she. She in the verse is called, is a name for Malchut. It is the Shekhinah. The Shekhinah is a construct. It's a mental game. God does not change. But in order to give us free choice, God created a negative system and a positive system. Each of those have leaders. Those leaders appear to be equal to each other. One is called Satan, and one is called the Shekhinah. The Shekhinah can fall, the Shekhinah can rise. The Satan can lose power, the Satan can gain power, all depending on human activity. But God doesn't change, so how can the Shekhinah, who is the manifestation of God, how can he change? She change. And that's why it's a construct, because it appears to us that she changes based on human activity. It appears to us that the Satan is as powerful as God, which of course is not true. I hope that helped clarify what I wrote. The third pasuk, and it's, again, feel free to ask questions. Kevan de'al leo yabitka Shekutva be'achamateya Shekiyach ve'tama Chavilin terikan Itpashatu be'alma Vekuhu shatan be'irvuvya Ve'azle v'chaikan Ve'nafshan t'rashiyaya U'modin lon milin Mimchon t'divan U'mimchon t'shot Uman de ishtakach Beinai hu it yahiv Lon reshu lecha belal Bekuhu b'nei alma Naimin v'ta'amin Ta'ama demota V'ha'okina. When the night falls, the written edicts are in their pockets. Many harmful demons spread out in the world, which all roam around in confusion. They go about and mock at the souls of the wicked and inform them of various matters. Some are false and some true. If any person is found among them, they are given permission to do harm. Everyone is sleeping and tasting the taste of death, as we have already explained. I am adding, people need to realize that dreams are not always prophetic and dreams are not always true. Sometimes these dreams coming from the agents of the left column are a method of manifesting the mercy of Hashem, where a person's tikkun is completed by the dream, which now means the person does not have to experience the chaos in this physical world, since he experienced it in his dream. If only people would stop judging spiritual things by physical world standards. That is what is being hinted at in the above pasuk. Pasuk 4. Tachatzi kaditai ruach tzafon K'day nitkabala Knesset Yisrael Bismala v'atcha baru Kachada v'sharya Bidroa be'atzraha V'kutcha barichu Ate le'ishkasha Im tzadikaya Bivgut ginta De Eden, Ugdain Kolman de Itar, La mi le bi o raita ve ha hu sha ata ha ista ata ve ha da begin de hi ya ve ko u klusin ve la mi sha be han ve ma o ka i la a ve ko li nun de ista ka hu Betushbach ta deoraita kuhu ketivin bivneche kala veikrun bishmechon bilem rishimin bimama. Come and see. When the north wind stirs the congregation of Israel, which is Malchut, is received by the left of Zechantin. They join together, and she rests in her place in the left arm. And the Holy One, blessed be He, comes to delight Himself with the righteous who are in the Garden of Eden. Whoever is awakened to study the Torah during that period is participating with Malchut. Because she and all her multitudes praise the High King, who is there on Tin, all who are present at the praising of the Torah are registered among the inhabitants of the temple and are proclaimed there by their names. These are recorded during the daytime. That is, they are registered to receive chasadim, which is the quality of day, which is there on Tim. My commentary. I suggest you contemplate this pasuk well. The actions that someone does during the day creates the person is like the co-creator, creates the effect that will come into their life. During each day, the actions are recorded by the agents of the right, which evaluate the actions with mercy. The first step is that when someone goes to sleep, the soul elevates to the upper worlds in order to be regenerated. To reach the upper worlds, the soul must pass through the earthbound planes. The earthbound planes is where all of the spiritual wisdom that is not Kabbalah causes entities to go. When you hear other spiritual wisdoms describe their astral travels, they are always describing earthbound planes. Inhabiting the earthbound planes at night are the agents of the negative system. If they recognize a soul from a living person, they always have permission to attack and keep them from rising out of the earthbound planes. This is why a physical person can sleep 8 or even 10 hours and feel more tired than when they went to sleep. It is because they have spent all that time fighting off the negative system agents. There is a protection from this, and that is saying the nighttime Shema with the proper Kavanah. While in the earthbound planes or while in the upper world, someone is given access to the Heavenly Academy for that particular level. The Heavenly Academy is a code word for the upper level judgments, which determine what will happen in someone's life in order to motivate them to be all that they can be. In other words, what will be their chaos and pain and suffering that will cause them to change themselves? What actions will they need to do to balance the universe from their previous actions? If they merit, they will be allowed to join their soul root, Tzadikim, in the Garden of Eden, and study Torah with the Tzadikim and with Hashem. I hope this commentary helps you contemplate this pasuk. The fifth pasuk. Tachatzi shemachada kadisha itzpilute atvandu shalta mipalgu leoya. Ve'elach binun advan kach lamed kal bamach ayin pei hei. Yud Aleph, Ayin Vav, Tzadi, Hey, Mem, Nun, Sofi, Biman, Tzapach, Kalil, Lom, Mem, Sofi, Ukmuha, Lissar, Bey, Kami, Isra, Nun, Hawa, Astim, Lahai, Ulhai, Kidem, Kitrin, Kalilam Kuvavishma Kadisha Atin Leya Vasatin Mabuaha Batardioli Dat Patiha Hawat Behadresha Devitha. Come and see that there is a holy name of carved letters that rules from midnight onward. It is of these letters, Kaf Lamed, final Kaf, Samach Ayin Pei He, Yud Aleph Ayin Vav Tzadi He, final Mem, final Nun, of the final Mem, final Nun, final Tzadi, final Pei, final Kaf, includes them. Final Mem was explained in accordance with the secret of, or the increase, the Hebrew word is limarbeh, of the realm, coming from the Isaiah prophecy, chapter 9, verse 6, which is spelled with a closed final Mem in the middle of the word, which alludes to Bina during the domination of the left when the lights are enclosed within her. Nun was hiding the one and the other, meaning the bent nun in the secret meaning of the Virgin of Israel is fallen. The Hebrew word is nafla. She shall no more rise, which conceals Bina and Malchut. For then the Sephirot were included, meaning that Malchut and Bina were included one within the other. And Bina was fallen like Malchut. The Vav of the Holy Name restored Malchut, which is the secret of Nun, and drew the left column upon her in the form of the Vav at that point. She rises from her fall, however, it closed up her springs, since due to the domination of the left column, that is why Bina is then considered a closed Mem. After Bina gave birth to the Vav of Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, which is Aaron Pin, that is the secret of the central column, or Malchut gave birth to the soul. It became open in one end, meaning the closed final Mem was opened at the bottom and became an open Mem. Kaf Lamed final Kaf, Samach Ayin Pei-Heh, Yud Aleph Ayin Vav Tzadi-Heh. My commentary. In my opinion, the 13-letter name is a code name associated with the 13 attributes of mercy. I do not see how all of these letters are revealed through the 13 attributes of Arichan Pin. Please refer to the prayer classes to learn about both sets of 13 attributes. When one adds the five final letters, one has a name of God that has 18 letters. This is a connection of love to life. Since I am not sure of the order of these 18 letters, we do not utilize the name in detail. We can read the pasuk each night before going to sleep, and that is recommended to add this pasuk to your nighttime ritual prior to starting the nighttime Shema. Here is my best guess as to the sequence. Kaf Lamed Kaf Sofit Samach Ayin Pei He, Yud Aleph, Ayin Vav, Tzadi He, Mem Sofit, Vat Nun Sofit, Tzadi Sofit, Pei Sofit, Kaf Sofit. You are cautioned to only scan these letters, even if you read Hebrew, until we find the confirmed sequence in the writings of a Kabbalist. Pasuk 6. Tad it hariv be mikdasha astimu ma buim mikosit rin viachlil advan acharam veinun shiva delat mehai sitra viarba mehai sitra kap lamed kaf yafa vesiman kula yafa rayati umum ein mecha nun sofit dekarvanuk barakalil kachada dakalil tilat mikan udlat mikaninun shit viokim na bilein tirein advan mem sofit nun sofit it kalalu telesar advan salik minaihu tere had leat had le had leat had. When the temple was destroyed, meaning when there was no union between Zerahemnah and Malchut, when the temple was destroyed, which is Malchut, the springs of Malchut were blocked from all sides. That means it became a closed mem in that all her lights were frozen. The closed mem is comprised of other letters, which are seven letters from the holy name mentioned above. Three are on from one side, which are Samas Ayin Vav, and four are from another side, which are Aleph Ayin Tzadi Hey. Kaf Lamed, final Kaf, Yud Peh Hey, remain from the holy name. This is derived from "you are all fair." The Hebrew is kulach. Kuf lamed final kaf. Yafa yud hey hey. My love, there is no blemish in you. That is the secret of the final nun, alluding to male and female in one composition. Final kaf, final nun is composed of three letters from this side, which are kaf lamed final kaf, and three from that side, which are yud pei hey. So there are six letters. We have explained that these two letters, final mem and final nun, include the 13 letters of the holy name: kaf lamed final kaf, samach ayin pei hey, yud aleph ayin vav tzadi hey. Since two aspects result from them, one aspect in one letter, which is the final mem, and one in another letter, which is the final nun. I am adding, we are being told by Rabbi Ashlag how to determine this name and the letter sequence in this pasuk. I do not understand it, and until I do, it is an indication that it is not for me to reveal this wisdom. Perhaps it is meant for you to decode this. If you do, please let me know. The seventh pasuk. Kaf lamed kaf sofit samach ayin pei hey yud aleph ayin vav tzadi hey. Akir it galifu advan viraza dabaki. Hey, tzei limil chama. Iradikiv ki hiye na arabatula na arketiv batar the istalak leolia the tafra nahir kedain Hashem salka the itkalilat bin chora ila'a Ugdain yidata ha shachar mikomo deyadea shachar mikomo dehei veit kalilat vedaveya. Kaf lamed final kaf samach ayin pei hei yud aleph ayin vav tzadi hei. Thus were the letters engraved, that is, the secret meaning in the portion of Ki Tetzah, Tetzah. Of the words of a girl, the Hebrew word is Na'ara, that is, a virgin. which is called spelled Na'ara, without the hay. After the night is gone and the morning light shines, the hay ascends and is included in the letter above. Then it is said, and cause day spring to know its place. Dawn, which is Eranpin, knows the place of the hay, and the latter is composed in it. I am adding, this is also important to the proper sequencing of the letters as well. If one asks, why is it important to have the proper sequence, let me explain briefly. A word spelled in the Hebrew letters is put into a sequence. That sequence is created as a name or an attribute of the Creator. The negative system has been in conflict with the positive system. Part of that conflict is to exchange locations of letters within the spelling of words. When one permutates the letters of a word, it is important to know which of those permutations come from the right column, and which from the left column, and which from the central column. When we do not know, then we can use that sequence incorrectly. When we use the sequences incorrectly, we create chaos in the world. The holiday of Pesach comes each year to help us correct what we have created in an incorrect sequence, or when we misunderstand the column associated with that sequence. Why should that matter? Each sequence has the potential to send us to a world or a dimension. We need to know where that world or dimension is located, under whose domain, the positive or the negative. Rabbi Berg once explained to me that the Satan rearranges the sequences of the foods that we eat, and that is what creates inappropriate fat cells in our bodies. That is how we get fat. Do not think that being fat is out of your control. It is in your control, since you are the one that opened yourself to Satan and the negative system, changing the proper sequence. That's the end of the section. Does anyone have any questions?
I do.
Go ahead.
This has really shown me how new I am to this. But explain to me Zeir Adpin, Zeir Adpin.
Zeir Adpin.
Zeir Adpin.
Zeir Adpin is a more complete English pronunciation. Zeir Adpin is the Aramaic phrase that refers to the six sephirot, Chesed, Gevurah, Tiferet, Netzach, Hod, and Yesod. Those six sephirot are called by the name Zeir Adpin, referring to the six of them. In the modern physics theory of the string theory, it is said that the world was created with 10 dimensions, which relate to the 10 sephirot, and that six of them went to zero, became non-functioning. In reality, those six are functioning, but they are considered less than, and they work together. The Kabbalists refer to Zeir Adpin as the six ends, because there's no continuity per se until they get to Malchut and manifest. I'm sure this is confusing. I recommend you listen to the four phases recordings and handouts. It will help you understand it. It will help you grow your knowledge of the tree of life and the 10 sephirot and the four phases and how creation works.
Okay.
Any other questions? I would like to make one statement. Where these handouts came from, a lot of it is borrowed, copied from the website that the Kabbalah Learning Center has put out. It's a copyrighted website. I don't have permission on the physical level to utilize it. I do have permission from two sources. One, before I became a teacher of Kabbalah, I learned at the Kabbalah Learning Center. And they announced in one of their Rosh Hashanah get-togethers that everybody at that Rosh Hashanah get-together had permission to become a teacher and to utilize the tools of the center. And that's what I am doing. So I have the permission, although it's not a formalized method. The other place of that permission is in a spiritual level through a meditation that I did where I received that permission to utilize this. But I don't promote it, these portions, because I don't want to invite the normal response from some people which are still connected to the physical. Announcements for the coming week. Tomorrow morning at 10:30, we will start our classes on teaching of the Baal Shem Tov on You Are Who You Hate. I expect that class to be about 50 classes long. It's an amazing teaching. I highly recommend you listen. It does relate to our advanced reincarnation classes, but it goes even into more detail in some ways. Monday at 5:30, we will be teaching about the letter Gimel. Tuesday at 7 o'clock, we will return to our advanced reincarnation classes. Wednesday is our basic class, and I don't remember what the subject is. Thursday at 7 o'clock, we will continue with Section 3 and perhaps longer for the Zohar portion of Shlach Lecha. And this coming Saturday, we will have again a Zohar class at 8:30, which deals with the Parasha of Korach. And that second Sunday will be the second class of You Are Who You Hate. Are there any questions? My sense is that I'm going to be sending this recording out. I do most of the recordings to those who want to list it. But I think I'm going to be adding this to the website and make it available for people who don't normally get the classes. I think this is a very effective, a lot of material was shared in this class. Any final questions before I wish you all shalom? Shalom you all. Have a beautiful week.
Shalom.
Shalom. Thank you.